away we go. Hey, folks, welcome in to the Ritz Report. It is May 23rd, 2023, and I am your illustrious host. Here I am, sitting behind the microphone, this thing. Hi. Sitting behind the microphone here to provide you with joy and information and humor and entertainment for free. It doesn't cost you a penny. All you got to do is download the podcast and listen in. That's all it takes. Piece of cake. If you want to send me notes of adoration and love or pure hatred, please do so. You can also just send me comments if you'd like to do that as well to ritz@ritzreport.com, ritz@ritzreport.com, or check me on the socials at ritzreport. What's happening, folks? Tuesday, May 23rd, another grand day in this experiment of this republic that we have called the United States. Looking at the news today, I did notice one of the pieces in the New York Post this morning that the Dylan Mulvaney disaster continues to cause problems over in the Anheuser-Busch organization. What do you think about that, Kamala? Yep. Bud Light is now offering, according to this piece by Shannon Thaler, dated today, the 23rd, that Bud Light is offering generous rebates for Memorial Day that in some cases amount to free beer as Anheuser-Busch continues to scramble to recover, from the Dylan Mulvaney controversy. Dylan Mulvaney. Right. Now through May 31, Bud Light is advertising a summer rebate to make your Memorial Day weekend easier to enjoy, where customers who purchase a 15-pack or larger of Bud Light, Budweiser, Budweiser Select, or Budweiser Select 55 will receive a $15 rebate. Question. Pregunta. Para mi... How do you say audience in Spanish? ¿Cómo se dice audience in Spanish? I don't know. Question. Don't you think that Anheuser-Busch and InBev, I guess that's the parent company of Anheuser-Busch, don't you think at this point they would have figured out that perhaps just kind of ignoring this whole thing and not dealing with it head on? Can you imagine the level of abject fear that must exist in that organization to not just come out and say sorry? The level of fear that they must have from the backlash of the jackals on the left, and that's really what they are, right? They work together in packs. When you see leftists that are angry, when you see leftists that are doing things in terms of trying to make a point publicly with civil disobedience, I mean, they act like a group of jackals. They all work in conjunction with each other. You can see it on videos on Twitter. You can see it on videos on Instagram where, you know, some poor slob is driving through some neighborhood where maybe he made an errant left turn or whatever the case may have been, and he ends up in the middle of this group of people who are suddenly jumping on his car. There was a video of this woman, I don't know where she was, but she got surrounded by this car. Her car was surrounded, and people started jumping on it. This insane lady gets out of the car. Like, do you think you're going to negotiate with these lunatics that are jumping all over your car? Stay in your car and try to drive away. You're lucky that you didn't get dragged to the ground and these animals kick you in the head until you were dead. Because clearly we've seen things like this in the past. I'm not speculating here, you know, saying something that's totally insane. We've seen it. We saw when Biden got elected, right? Before Biden got elected, and everybody thought potentially Trump might have been elected. They were boarding up stores in New York City. They were getting ready for riots. Do you think that they were getting ready for riots in case that Biden got elected or because Trump got elected? We know exactly what they were doing, for whom, for what reason, because the people on the left cannot control themselves. They cannot control themselves. They have the emotional maturity of a four-year-old. And this is why they lay down in the middle of the road, because they don't want you to drive. I mean, it's idiocy. But back to Bud Light. Bud Light should have just apologized early on. Come out, Say that you made the changes in the organization that you needed to make. Apologize to your customer base for calling them fratty and out of touch and essentially a bunch of morons. And get on with your life. Now we're offering, it cracks me up, we're offering $15 rebates for Bud Light. For reference, the piece continues here. For reference, a 15-pack of Bud Light is listed for $12.99 on Target's website. Target. Target's another company we got to talk about now that they're selling swimwear for young men to, I guess, pretend they're young women, to tuck their junk back into their crotch area so that they look more like the... like a female. So that's what's going on at Target. Target's got all of these companies. I saw Starbucks now has an ad where a husband and wife are sitting in Starbucks and they're waiting for their son to arrive. The son calls the father on the phone and you see the photograph of the kid pop up on his phone. And the father, you know, answers the call. And I guess the kid's saying, you know, he's going to be a couple of minutes later, whatever the case may be. Next thing you know, jump ahead a couple of minutes. The kid walks through the door and he's dressed as a woman, right? So obviously the dad is like very uncomfortable with the fact that the son is dressed as a woman. And the son sits down, long hair, red dress, necklace, nails, makeup, the whole thing. And the dad essentially gets up to go order coffee. Like, so Starbucks is a coffee company. We are a coffee company. Don't we just want to sell coffee? And this is what I think, same mistake that Bud Light made, right? The same mistake that Bud Light made. Why are we doing this? I don't care if you like to put on a dress and heels and makeup. I don't care if that's how you live your life. I am trying to sell you coffee. I am trying to sell you beer. Ford is now coming out with their Pride truck, the F-150 Raptor, all painted out for Pride Month. I want to sell you a truck. I don't care about your feelings about gay marriage or any of this other stuff. I'm just selling you a product. That's it. But back to Bud Light. For reference, a 15-pack is sold for $12.99 on Target's website, the same price as a 15-pack of Budweiser. The rebate will be paid via a digital prepaid card, according to the Bud Light site. Customers must provide a proof of purchase, an image of the case's barcode, and their receipt to get the prepaid card mailed to their home address. So, I ask you, people don't even want to buy your product. even if there was no rebate, let's just say people went to a store to buy some beer, they don't even want to buy your product. Now you're making them jump through 14 hoops to buy your product. I tweeted out last week, there was a grocery market chain in the Midwest that is selling cases of Budweiser and Bud Light for $1.99. For $1.99, how far we have fallen. And they still haven't gotten through their head that they should probably apologize. They should probably say something more than the letter that the original CEO put out there saying that they just want to make a product that people can get together and have a beer. They should probably say something more significant to the people who actually buy their product if they want them to continue buying their product. Just, you know, listen, I'm just a guy doing a podcast, so what do I know? But it seems to me that not apologizing is a huge mistake.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. So moving on, we are going to move on to Joe Bite Me, a.k.a. Plugs, a.k.a. the dumbest man in the Senate for four decades and known here lovingly at the Ritz Report as...
Hero of the Stupid.
The hero of the stupid. Joe Bite Me. Let's talk about him. The G7 was recently, and Joe Bite Me was there with his bells on. They shot him up full of something to keep him awake while he was walking around the G7, but they couldn't keep him away from every microphone. So he stumbled up to a microphone and wiped the oatmeal off his chin and proceeded to present himself to the world as our grand leader. Let's listen to a little clip of what Joe Bite Me had to say while at the G7, shall we?
There's a lot of other, for example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to. For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the the global warming bill. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Cut by $1.7 billion in the first 2 years, the deficit that we were accumulating. And because I was able to say to it that the 55 corporations in America that made $400 billion that they had paid zero in tax.
Folks. You know what that makes me want to do is sing along with Dylan Mulvaney. Oh, yeah. Look at that fish. Sing it, Dylan. Oh, yeah. Dylan and the Twig and Berries Band. Oh, yeah. There it is. Okay, anyway, back to Joe Bite Me. So Joe Bite Me was on the world stage at the G7 and decided to embarrass himself and all of us here in the United States. I don't know, right? This is a man who we are told got 80 million votes. Did he? Did he get 80 million votes? And I ask, how many of those 80 million today, after listening to Joe Bite Me on the world stage, embarrass himself and us, regret that vote? Would they go back tomorrow? Or would they go back if they could in a time machine? And say, you know what, Bite Me, I can't pull the lever for you. It's amazing to me, I will say, how many people that I speak to who have no idea that Joe Biden was considered the dumbest man in Washington for four decades, yet they voted for him. Somehow the media, all of his allies in the media, were able to cover up for the fact that he is a completely incompetent buffoon for the entire race in 2020. But I guess that's neither here nor there. He's our president now. God help us all.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. But not to get off the topic of Joe Biden, he also stopped on his travels in Japan to talk to the Marines over there that are stationed in Japan. And he proceeded to tell another lie. I know that Joe Biden has this thing about lying, and he lies incessantly, endlessly, more lies than I think than any other politician. It would be really hard. It would be really hard to find somebody who lies more than Joe Biden. I don't even know at this point whether Joe Biden knows that he's lying anymore. He doesn't appear to obviously have all of his cognitive marbles rolling around upstairs. And shame, I will say, shame, honestly, on his family. He is, you know, he is an elder man at this point, and he's not up for this job. And the fact that his family lets him stumble and bumble around and drool in front of everybody is not not how exactly I would want my spouse to treat me if I was in that condition. But let's quickly listen to a lie that Joe Biden had to tell to the Marines over there in Japan. Let's see, it's a little, the sound is not the greatest, so let's see how this comes through.
My son was a major in the U.S. Army, lost him in Iraq.
My son was a major in the U.S. Army. We lost him in Iraq. Lost him in Iraq. The only problem is that's a lie. Like so many things, he says, that is a lie.
You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard! Jesus Christ, I met some dumb bastards in my time, but you outdo them all.
From the New York Post once more, as I said, he was traveling in Japan when he said that his son perished in the Iraq war. The traveling press corps, which has faced repeated access issues while covering the nation's oldest ever president, was kept far enough away that the remarks were inaudible. That was the sound there that I played for you that was a little difficult to hear. The White House press office did not put out an official transcript, almost allowing the error to escape public notice. Biden said in October of last year that his son Beau lost his life in Iraq and claimed the following month that Iraq was where my son died. In fact, the president's son died of brain cancer in 2015 in the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. I would say to Joe Biden, I don't understand why you have to continually lie about the fact that your son died in Iraq when he died in Walter Reed. You could say, I mean, he said that he died of this cancer because of the smoke that he inhaled because of the burn pits in Iraq. That could very well be the case. And at least that's a plausible story. Even if that's a lie, it's a plausible story. But to say that the guy gets waxed in Iraq is just completely untrue. And everybody knows it at this point. The piece continues, such glaring factual errors are a political liability for Biden, who is seeking a second term in 2024. In Washington Post ABC poll, released earlier this month, found that 32% of the public believes that Biden does not have the mental sharpness required to be president. We could put Willie Brown's girlfriend in there, but I don't think people like her either. Bo Biden died at 46 after being groomed to carry his dad's political legacy. He was Delaware's attorney general from 2007 to 2015, and the president often says he thought his son could have been elected to the highest office in the land. I will take issue with one of these statements here. It says, such glaring factual errors are a political liability for Biden. Are they? Are they really? Are they a political liability? I would argue actually that they're not, because he is a known liar. He's a known plagiarist. Further down in the piece, they list some of Biden's lies, half-truths, things that potentially he might think are true that happened but actually didn't happen. And I quote, last year, Biden told athletes in Israel that he once tried to get a walk-on tryout for the NFL.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. In November 2021, he scoffed at a question from the Post in the Rose Garden about whether he was concerned about political corruption in his son's Hunter's art sales. You've got to be kidding me, Biden said, though his reply was unclear for days until a journalist clip emerged. Concern about Biden's mental fitness for office surged in September when he asked, where's Jackie? And searched for late Representative Jackie Walorski, a Republican from Indiana, at an event, despite publicly mourning her car accident death and even calling her family to offer his condolences in August. So, to clarify that statement, this woman, Jackie Walorski, dies in a car accident. He calls the family to offer condolences in August. A month later, during a meeting, press conference, I don't even know what it was. He doesn't do press conferences, so it probably wasn't that. But a month later, he asks, where's Jackie? And searches for her in the audience. So within 1 month, he had forgotten the fact that he called the family to say, I'm sorry for your loss. Biden's defenders argues that he's simply prone to misspeaking and that it's all part of his political charm. Could you imagine if Trump lied like this guy lies and the press would be like, oh, it's just so charming. It's such a nice way that he has about him.
You are a sad, strange little man.
His factually incorrect claim often coincide with Biden's attempting to establish a personal connection with the audience. And then they list just a bunch of lies here that Biden has sold. So in December, Biden claimed that his uncle Frank Biden won the Purple Heart for his actions in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. There's no evidence of the award, and key details of this story make it factually impossible. All right, so what do we have now? Three lies just in this piece? Okay, another one. In October, Biden said firefighters nearly died extinguishing a blaze in his kitchen in 2004. That prompted a local fire department to describe the event as a relatively insignificant fire for their trained professionals. In May, Biden said at the Naval Academy graduation ceremony that he was appointed to the military school in 1965 by the late Senator Caleb Boggs, a Republican from Delaware. A search of Boggs' archive failed to return any information about this so-called appointment.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Then in January of 2022, Biden told students at a historically black college in Atlanta that he was arrested during civil rights protests, though there is no evidence that that had ever happened. Biden, then a senator, dropped out of the 1988 Democratic presidential primary after revelations that he exaggerated his academic record and plagiarized a campaign speech and a law school paper. During that campaign, Biden borrowed British politicians Neil Kinnock's family history, with Biden changing the details to incorrectly claim in his speeches that, quote, my ancestors worked in the coal mines in northern Pennsylvania and would come up after 12 hours and play football for 4 hours.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. Biden also claimed in 1987 that he graduated with 3 degrees from college, was named the outstanding student in the political science department, went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in his class to have a full academic scholarship, and ended up in the top half of his class. None of that was true. And all we know is that there are so many more lies. The New York Post could have gone on probably for like 15 pages of lies that Biden has told. But not to worry, he's the guy in charge. He has everything under control. His faculties are tight.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years.
The mom and dad, or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're, I really mean it. There are trusted interlocutors. Think of the people, if your kid.
Trusted interlocutors?
There are trusted interlocutors.
Trusted what?
There are trusted interlocutors.
What's that?
There are trusted interlocutors.
Trusted interlocutors. Continue.
Wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not. You know, who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking about it?
Right.
You're trying your best, but it never feels like enough.
Hero of the stupid.
There he is, folks. There he is. Joe Bite Me, a.k.a. Joe Biden, a.k.a. Hero of the Stupid. Thanks, Joe. Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about New York City. New York City. I love New York City, or I did love New York City. I lived there for quite a while. I'm born and raised in New York. I now live in sunny South Florida, which the NAACP says now is a terror. Oh, they've issued a travel warning. you guys probably saw this yesterday. The NAACP issued a travel warning to Black and LGBTQIA plus minus open parentheses star sign ampersand carrot sign percent sign dollar sign community that they should not travel to the Sunshine State because it's too dangerous, far too dangerous. And, you know, it would be, you know, you don't want to travel down there as, you know, an LGBTQI whatever or a black dude because what might happen to you? Florida is becoming a terrorist state. In fact, MSNBC had some glittering jewel of colossal ignorance got on MSNBC. And I know that's saying a lot because they have a lot of those. But she, well, rather than me explain it, let's listen to her. Before we get on to New York City and what a disaster it is there, let's listen to this woman on MSNBC lie.
I think it was extremely clever, and I really appreciate the NAACP's guidance issue. You know, I just took my family to spring break in Florida.
I just took my family to spring break in Florida, and now I'm thankful for the guidance that they provided to not travel to Florida after I have returned from Florida for vacationing in the sun and fun. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood that she was just here and left, and now she's happy about the guidance. Let's listen to the rest of this genius speak.
Recently, and I think about all of the folks who traveled there for sun and joy and peace and restoration.
How can there be sun and joy and peace and restoration when the place is a terrorist state? I ask you. This woman is a black lesbian. How is it that she came down here and escaped with her life? I don't understand. How is that possible?
And to be reminded that actually this is getting to the point where Florida is about to be a terrorist state to many of us here in America, certainly as a lesbian, as a black woman. I don't want to have anything to do with the place. And I think about all the.
I don't want anything to do with the place. Okay, honey, you were just here admitting that you were having a good time in the sun and the fun here in South Florida.
other people who don't want to travel there either. And so I think it was very clever on behalf of the NAACP. I thank them for issuing this broad guidance. And, you know, really what it does is it turns a remarkable, I think, lens on the United States and highlights how bigotry and bias and ignorance do as much harm as we accuse other countries of doing to people that they suppress.
I think she's right. I think she's right that it does do harm, that her ignorance and her bigotry is actually doing quite a bit of harm, because the lunatics, the Looney Tunes, the nut jobs, the people who have, you know, an elevator that doesn't go all the way to the top, who are, who are a pack of French fries short of a Happy Meal, watch MSNBC and think they're actually watching news. It's incredible to me that that's actually the case. CNN as well. I have family members who watch CNN who think it's actually news, who think that they're actually getting information that's accurate, which is insane. And the thing about it is, like, you could watch a news station, and just because they tell you something, because they tell you part of a story, doesn't make it true. If I tell you that a rapist was arrested and released, and you hear that story, you think to yourself, like, wow, that sounds crazy. If the guy had been arrested six other times for rape, do you think that that would change the way that you felt about the story? And that's the kind of lying they do. It's not a matter of what they tell you. It's more important as a matter of what they don't tell you. So this lunatic who just traveled to Florida and now is standing up like the tool that she is and clapping like a seal over the fact that the NAACP said, for gays and for black people, don't go to Florida. It's interesting because the black man who made this statement actually lives in Tampa, according to his Twitter handle, which is sort of remarkable, don't you think? Anyway, on to New York City. New York City is a hot mess. As I talked about in one of my Ritz in a Hurry clips during this past week, New York has lost almost 5.5% of its population. 5.5%. I am one of those happy people who escaped the concrete jungle of New York City. It makes me sad. It really does. Because when I lived there in the past, it was wonderful. It was grand. When Giuliani fixed it up in the early 2000s, it was the best city. You could walk anywhere. You felt safe. I never had to look over my shoulder. It was clean. People were happy to be there. The tourism was thriving. It was excellent. It was excellent. And now, oh my God, between COVID, de Blasio, so we had Giuliani, and then after Giuliani came Bloomberg, and Bloomberg did some things that were annoying, but he didn't destroy anything. He was a good manager. He kept the city running. He kept it clean. He kept the police happy. The city went on and it was in good shape. Ugh, then de Blasio. Oh my God. De Blasio comes in. His real name, by the way, is Warren Wilhelm. But you could never get elected in New York with a name like Warren Wilhelm.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. Warren Wilhelm. So Warren Wilhelm gets elected, a.k.a. Bill de Blasio, and proceeds to drive the city off a cliff. And then COVID hits, and it's even worse. And then de Blasio's done, and we have the election, and it's Curtis Sliwa versus Eric Adams. All I can say, and I said this during the election, was, listen, people think that Curtis Sliwa was not like a smart guy. I mean, they went after him as like a right-wing nut job. I defy anyone for all of Curtis Sliwa's, for all of his problems. And listen, we're all human beings, right? We're all human beings. All of us have things that other people are not going to like. That's just the way it is. When you look at what's going on in a city and you look at what needs to be remedied in the city, you need to say to yourself, who is going to be the most effective person to do this job? Eric Adams was a police officer in New York City for a long time. The police would not back him for mayor. The cops said, this is not the guy that you want. This is not the guy. He didn't do anything on the up and up when he was in the department. He wasn't a good cop. Don't elect him just because he was a cop. And you have Curtis Sliwa, who literally started, what's the name of the organization? The Guardian Angels, the guys who wear the red satin jackets. So they were essentially, back before Giuliani cleaned up the city, he started the Guardian Angels, and it was essentially like a bunch of vigilantes that would walk around on the subway to keep people safe, to protect them. So they wore these berets and these hats to identify them as this group, And they would fight against the crime that was out of control to protect people who couldn't protect themselves, much like David Penny just did with this Jordan Neely character. Jordan Neely, to be arrested 44 times and still be on the subway is completely unacceptable. I said it on Twitter last week. I said it in one of the Ritz in a Hurry things. Jordan Neely was failed by New York State and New York City. If anybody wants to be mad about Jordan Neely, direct your anger at the mayor and direct it at the governor. Don't direct it at this poor guy who decided he was going to stand up and do something when everybody else in the car who was there is now calling him a hero. Everybody else who saw what he actually did said that what he did was heroic. So anyway, fast forwarding to the election, people on the Upper West Side wanted to be able to pat themselves on the back at their cocktail parties and say, I voted for the black guy. So they elected Eric Adams, and he's a disaster. He is a disaster. He was elected primarily to clean up crime. He hasn't really done anything in terms of crime. Now he's being completely swamped and overrun by this issue with the migrants. And there seems to be no end in sight. He's now saying that he wants to ship a lot of these migrants to other cities around the country because he just can't handle it. But I have, and this is what I said last week on the podcast, I don't understand. These people are supposed to be a gift from God. I've been told this over and over and over again. That's all I hear is how great they are. That if you're an American, you're a reprobate, a loser, a clown. You can't hold a candle to these people that are coming across our border illegally. And now suddenly Eric Adams wants to ship them off to other cities around the country. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? These people, there's no downside. All we've been told is that, hey, they come here, they do all these jobs that Americans won't do. Why would you ship them away? Let's listen to Adams talk about how he wants to ship those poor people away.
We have 108,000 cities, villages, towns. If everyone takes a small portion of that, and if it's coordinated at the border to ensure that those who are coming here to this country in a lawful manner is actually moved throughout the entire country, it is not a burden on one city.
And he looks to Washington, D.C. to solve this problem for him. Washington, D.C. created the problem. They created the problem. They don't think it's a problem. They have no problem with it. They think it's good. We've had 6 million people cross the border in 2 years. They haven't stopped it. If it was, you know, 2 months in and they were like, holy smokes, we need to do something, that would be a different story. We're 2 years in. 2 years in. There's more illegals every week. And they do nothing. They send 1,500 people down. They send 1,500 people from the National Guard down to the border. Whoop-de-doo. What are they going to do? Paperwork? What are they going to do? Go buy diapers for all the kids that are coming across? Seriously? What are they going to do? And the guys that are coming across, if they even give them a hearing date for their asylum claim, quote unquote, which they're not qualified for asylum at all. 99.9% of them are not qualified for asylum. So they give them a court date in 2032, and what we expect that they're going to like show up in 2032 for their court date? Like, give me a break. It's an absolute scam. It's a sham. It's being run on the people of the United States. We're just being taken advantage of. We're being taken advantage of. It's unbelievable. So New York City has problems with that. And now in the New York Post, New York City ranks dead last as the worst city to start a career. This is kind of heartbreaking, actually. When I was a young man and I wanted to, I mean, it was a dream of mine to work on Wall Street. And I actually achieved it. I was working on Wall Street in my, how old was I? 30, 29, I guess, somewhere around there. But I loved it, like the energy. And it was fantastic. I was down there for 9/11, but it was just fantastic. The energy in the city was in a great place. It was, you know, people wanted to go to New York to start their careers. And now New York City ranks dead last as the worst city to start a career. From the New York Post, New York City is where dreams are made of, but not for recent college grads looking to kickstart their professional careers, according to a study. The Big Apple ranked dead last out of 182 cities in 2023's best and worst places to start a career report. God, that's unbelievable. Among those losing ranks, Gulfport, Mississippi was in place number 181, Newark, New Jersey was in 180, and Detroit was in 179. In what world would you have thought, for folks out there that are a little bit older, in what world would you have thought that Detroit or Newark would be a better place to start a career than New York City? That sounds insane. Detroit beats New York. New York City took the 182nd place after ranking the lowest on 26 metrics across categories considering professional opportunities and quality of life. The people in New York, the mayor, the governor, the legislature, you people better get your head out of your butt. You better get your head out of your butt because New York and New York City, you guys are heading for some serious pain. And I know at the end of the day, you're going to try to get the federal government to bail you out. But why would you want to create a downward spiral, which is what we have here? Like we talked about last week, 5.5 or 5.3% of the population of the city bolted in 2 years. Who do you think those people are? Those are the people that can afford to leave. They can afford to go. So you have the top 1%. Let's just put a bow on this and then we'll get out of here. You have the top 1% of wage earners who pay 40% of income taxes. The top 1% pays 40%. The bottom 50% pays zero federal income tax. Let me repeat that. The bottom 50%, the bottom 50% pays zero federal income tax. In fact, most of them get credits back from the federal government. So they actually make money. They get a check back from the government. So the top 1% pays 40%. And those, that top 1%, are in that 5.5% that left New York City. What do you think that's going to do to the revenue on the state and the revenue for the city? It's going to decimate it. And they're going to be out of money. And now they're dumping money hand over fist with the illegals. They can't afford to deal with that. I mean, it is a slow-moving train wreck that you can see. But you have people like Eric Adams who think that the only problem, essentially, is who the mayor is. And that as long as the right person is mayor, you're good.
When a mayor has swagger, the city has swagger. We've allowed people to beat us down so much that all we did was wallow in COVID. We need a mayor, a swagger.
We need a mayor, a swagger. Do we need a mayor, a swagger? Or do we need a mayor who knows how to fix the city? Do we need a mayor like Rudy Giuliani who is not going to care who he pisses off and whose toes he steps on to get things actually fixed, especially when we know in all of our lifetimes how to fix this. We saw it happen. But don't you worry. Swagger is going to fix it.
This is New York. It's a privilege to live in New York. And the leadership should have that swagger. That's what has been missing in this city.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
That's it. That's it for me, folks. Today is Tuesday, May 23rd. And as we get out of here, of course, we have to do our homage to...
Hero of the Stupid.
We revive paid sick leave for all workers. So workers don't have to leave work to to be fired in order, when they get sick, to be able to continue to live.
And by the way, it costs a lot of money. It costs about $740 billion over 10 years.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black, go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and in a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who brings out the carts on a forklift.
There is
what
it.
Happens?
There is there.
They make you management.
That's it, folks. Thanks for joining me, May 23rd, 2023. This is the Ritz Report. I am Alex Ritz. Please send me notes of adoration and love or pure hatred to ritz@ritzreport.com or check me on the socials at Ritz Report. Please do me a big fat favor. Do me a solid, dudes. Do me a solid. Share the podcast with a friend. Say, hey, this guy, he's money. He is money. He gets in there and he's like delivering the messages and it's all like super, super like coherent and everything else.
You like apples?
How about them apples, boy?
It's nothing at all like this. That would be Joe Biden. That would be much more along the lines of Joe Biden. So with that, thank you. I'll be back on Thursday, the 25th. I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday until I see you again. And until next time, as always, how about we have Dylan Mulvaney take us out? What do you say? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Drink Bud Light. Drink Bud Light. Oh. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Thanks for being here, folks. Adios, Ritz out.